Well, good morning. We are in the season of Easter, or Eastertide. It's this season of 50 days between the Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and then Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit to God's people. And while we're in this Easter season, we are looking at various psalms, these ancient prayers and songs that have become the official prayer book of the church in all times and in all places. And it is good for us to remember that these songs, these prayers, they were given to us, flowing out of the hearts and the souls and the experiences of the Jewish people, which means that these prayers and these songs were Jesus' prayers and songs. The incarnate God, our Lord, prayed to God our Father. Songs of praise, prayers of lament, and over the next few weeks, we'll listen to these prayers. These prayers in which we are invited into the heart of God and to hear Jesus give voice to his own experience of the cross and of the resurrection. You see, it was the resurrected Jesus who taught Peter on that road to Emmaus that all the scriptures only make sense in light of Jesus' own death and resurrection. And it was Peter on that Pentecost Sunday in the passage we just heard who preached to the crowds about the crucified and risen Christ and invited those listening, and that invitation is extended to us today, to hear Psalm 16, our psalm this morning, prayed on Jesus' lips. What did Jesus pray? And what is he inviting us to pray with him? Well, let's turn to Psalm 16. And let's hear this prayer that David wrote and that Jesus prayed. You can follow along in your order of worship, or you can turn there in your Bibles if you have one with you. This is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand our pleasures forevermore. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come to you this morning as a people who need to hear your voice. So we pray that by your Spirit, you would open our ears to hear the voice of Christ, our Lord. That we would hear the words that he speaks over us, that you sing over us. That we are your children, that you are our God. Lord, remind us of this good news, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So prayers are intimate, right? Even the sweetest or the simplest of prayers serve as invitations to know someone deeper. At dinner time in our home, when we are finally seated with food around the table and it's time to pray, Kenya, who's our foster daughter and who's 3 years old, always asks to pray. And so she does. And she proceeds to pray to thank God for my sister Lily, she says, my brother Ethan, my mommy Evie, that's her biological mom, my mommy and my daddy. And with a proud smile, she says, "Amen." It's a sweet and a simple prayer, yes. But it's also an invitation for us to see who Kenya loves. You see, our prayers, they offer us glimpses of what we care about, of what concerns us or what bothers us, of what questions we have, what pain we're experiencing. Prayers are the songs of the heart, and giving voice to our hopes, to our doubts, even whom or what we trust in. Prayers are windows of the soul, which is why I find it fascinating to read the Psalms as the prayers of Jesus. I mean, we know Jesus prayed, right? We are told by the gospel writers how on numerous occasions he would find a place to pray. Less known, though, is what Jesus prayed in those places. Well, in the Psalms, we're offered a glimpse, an invitation to know Christ. In the Psalms, we find the songs of Jesus' heart, what Jesus cares about, his struggles, his loves, what competing voices he had to contend with, and whom he trusts. And it is this question of who Jesus trusts that features prominently in our psalm this morning, in Psalm 16. And it's a question that is answered with confidence in the very opening petition. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Jesus trusts God. God is his hope for refuge, for protection, his only hope for rest. So it is to God that Jesus pleads, "Preserve me." Jesus trusts God. And in this psalm, Jesus invites us to trust God in him. Well, this morning, as we take a look at this prayer of trust that Jesus prayed and that he invites us to pray, I want us to consider really two questions. First, what does it mean to trust God? And second, why should we trust God? What does it mean to trust, and why should we do it? That might be good also to pause here right at the start and address what many of you might be thinking if you think at all like me. Well, of course, Jesus trusts God. He is God. And this is true. But Jesus was also a human being, surrounded by voices that would claim to tell him who he is and to whom he belongs. Maybe it is here where we can better understand what it means to trust. What does it mean to trust someone? Well, I would offer to trust someone means that you listen to what they say as true. You listen to what they say as true. Another way we can ask, well, who do you trust, is to ask, what or who do you listen to? And Jesus had to contend with all sorts of voices. Voices that would claim to tell him who he is. If you are the Son of God, Satan said to Jesus in the wilderness, challenging his identity, that he belongs to God. What sort of man is this? The disciples ask in awe after Jesus calms the seas with a word. Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive God? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The Pharisees, after Jesus heals a paralytic and forgives him of his sins. Are you the one? Even John the Baptist wondered and questioned who Jesus was. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Jose and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? These the voices of friends and family in Jesus' own hometown, the voices who were offended by Jesus and would claim to tell Jesus who he is. And then there's Peter, a friend, a disciple, the rock, who confessed Jesus as the Christ, but we'd be so bold to rebuke Jesus' chosen path of cross and resurrection, to presume to tell Jesus what it means to be the Christ. Lord, far be it from you. Well, we know that these voices must have been present even more so as the shadow of the cross loomed near. Who is he? To whom does he belong? But those are not the only voices that Jesus had or heard. At his baptism and at his transfiguration, Jesus hears a voice from heaven, from God his Father, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Two times, Jesus the Son hears God the Father say, "You are my beloved Son." And in Psalm 16, we hear Jesus respond in prayer saying, "You are my Lord." Out of the cacophony of voices, Jesus clings to one voice and trusts God. Jesus listens to his Father and prays, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." And Jesus knows well the good set before him, and he knows well the sorrows of those around him, the sorrows of those who run after other gods. You see, gods are all those things to which the voices that we ultimately listen to belong. The gods in which we trust have voices. Voices we believe that tell us who we are, voices that guide our way, that give us value and worth and offer hope, those voices belong to our gods. The God of work tells us we are what we do. The God of wealth tells us we are what we make and buy. The God of family tells us he's not your brother, nor is she your sister, and nor is that your child. The God of the state tells us we're Americans, not human beings made in the image of God. And the God of empire tells us you're free, you're brave, and you're righteous. And they're slaves, they're enemies. They're evil, and that's just the way the world works. Jerusalem had similar gods, and it had all the sorrows that grasping after such gods brings. And Jesus lamented in the face of such sorrows, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under his wings, and you're not willing." Jerusalem, it is a city that drinks offerings of blood. By killing prophets and stoning those whose voices threaten to challenge the voices of its gods. Jerusalem is a city of sorrows, grasping for safety and security and control by believing the lying voices of the gods of empire, of violence, a religion, and unwilling to listen to the voice of Jesus, its God and King. Well, Jesus enters this city, the city of sorrows, on his way to the cross, and he clings to the only good he has in the only God he trusts. "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot," Jesus prays. And it is in these three images, my portion, my cup, and my lot, where we see what it means to trust God, to listen to the voice of God, and why we should listen. And it is here where we'll spend the majority of our time in our passage this morning. "The Lord is my portion," Jesus prays. My portion, it's an image of food, of sustenance. God is my food, Jesus prays. When Jesus was confronted by Satan in the wilderness, a voice that challenged and questioned who Jesus was, Jesus responded to Satan saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God is my bread, my food, Jesus prays. I trust God. It is God's voice that I cling to. And the words that came from the mouth of God proclaim, "This is my beloved Son." This God, his voice over me is my chosen portion, Jesus prays, the voice I listen to. And Jesus invites us to pray this very same God in him, to listen to his voice. Jesus invites us to listen to the God who rejoices over you with gladness, Zephaniah says, who will quiet you by his love, who exults over you with singing. Trust this God in Christ. Listen to the voice of your singing God who calls you beloved. And we can trust his voice, and we know we are beloved because of the cross. Unless we forget the cross and turn to hear other voices, we are reminded every week of the voice of Christ. For on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, his portion, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." Jesus is our portion, our bread. It is his word and work that sustains us and makes us whole. It tells us we are fully known and fully loved. So eat, remembering me, Jesus says, remembering that you are beloved. The Lord is my chosen portion. The Lord is my cup, Jesus prays. The cup is an image in Scripture that can carry two very different meanings. Here in Psalm 16 and then in Psalm 23, we read of a cup of blessing, of salvation, a cup that overflows with the fullness of God, the blessings of God. The Lord is my cup and my salvation. But more often than not, the cup in the Old Testament is this image of wrath, of curses and judgment. It's a cup that leads to drunkenness and humiliation and destruction. It is a dark image, an image that points to the depth of our need as broken and sinful people who have sought after and listened to other gods. You know, the more and more that I sit with people and hear their stories, people in and out of the church, the more I hear people express and knowing of their need. This dark space, voices that sound, "How did I get here? This is miserable." Sounds a lot like the voice of someone hungover, confident the night before in what they were doing, but now in a mess. Those two are often our words. Trying to navigate the complexity of this world and its brokenness, our brokenness, we listen to voices, we grasp at whatever we can just to try to make life work. And we find ourselves asking, "How did I get here? This is miserable. I'm a mess." Well, Jesus invites us to pray with him that the Lord is my cup, my salvation. You see, Jesus sees you. He sees me, a mess. And he calls you beloved and forgiven. And we can trust God in him because it is the cup of wrath and curses and judgment that Jesus drank on our behalf. You see, it was that cup that Jesus prayed, "Lord, take this cup from me." Well, it was not taken away. And Jesus drank the cup, going to the cross for us. For this reason, we can pray this prayer with Jesus to trust God in him and receive and drink not the cup of judgment, but the cup of salvation. And lest we forget the cross and turn to other voices, every week we get to hear Jesus' voice. For it was after supper when Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Remember me," Jesus says. "Drink the fullness of God's salvation. Listen to the voice that says you are forgiven. You belong to me. You are beloved child of God. The Lord is my portion, my cup. You are my lot," Jesus prays. My portion and my cup, those are images of a table, of food. My lot, this is an image of land, piece of land, similar to the lots that were apportioned to the tribes of Israel in the book of Joshua. Those lots were promised, held by God for God's people until they entered the land. Those lots were their inheritance. It is where they were going, what they were headed for. My lot is another way of asking what, or another way of saying what happens next. And Jesus trusts God, praying, "You are my lot. You hold my lot. Where I am going, what I am doing belongs to you." And for Jesus to pray such a prayer meant that he would also have to pray, "Not my will, but your will be done." You see, Jesus' lot was the cross. The cross was where Jesus was going. The cross is for Jesus what happens next. And Jesus trusts God. He sets the Lord always before him, his heart, his glad. The whole being rejoices in listening to the voice of God, who calls him to the cross. Because Jesus knows that it is this very same voice that he will hear in the tomb when God raises him from the dead. You see, Jesus' lot was not only the cross, but the cross and the resurrection. "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let my Holy One see corruption," he prays. Jesus trusts God. Jesus listens to God's voice because he trusts that God does work wonders for the dead. Jesus listens to God's voice because he trusts that God's steadfast love is declared in the grave. Jesus believes that God is faithful and will not abandon him in death, but raise him to new life. "You hold my lot," Jesus prays. And for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. And he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And it is from this throne that Jesus invites us to pray with him and trust God in him, that "You hold my lot." There are all sorts of voices who want to tell you and to tell me what it means to be fully alive, to have abundant life, to be blessed. But there is only one voice that we can trust. Only one voice we ought to listen to. Where else are we to go than the one who has the words of eternal life and who invites us to find in him the fullness of life in the way of the cross? You see, we become fully alive when we abide in Christ's love and when we love one another in the way of the cross. Abide and love. This is the path of life that God has made known to us in Christ. And we know this path is right. We can pray this prayer with confidence to the Lord that "You hold my lot," because just as God raised Jesus from the dead, so he will raise us one day with him. "You are my Lord, and the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." My prayer for us is that we would pray these prayers with Jesus, that we would trust his word makes us whole, that his love is greater than our sin, and that his way of the cross is the path of true life. May our hearts be glad. May our whole being rejoice. For God will not abandon us in death, but promises from the throne to make all things new. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you are our portion. You are our cup. You hold our lot. We believe these words in Christ. For as you who entered into the depths of our brokenness and sin, going to the cross, scorning its shame, forgiving us, and then being raised from the dead, you point to the truth that sin and death do not have the final word. Those voices cannot claim us. Lord, may we hear your voice. May we find rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.